Lord Jesus, we come before you now. We just pray, God, that you just guide and direct the broadcast tonight, that Miranda's able to, you know, facilitate helping me share the message, that the viewers are able to be blessed in what's happening with the message of the book of Genesis, that you will be able to hear the message of God tonight, and that people will be blessed by learning the history of the book of Genesis. Lord, we pray for those that are sick, for those that have lost jobs, those that are struggling with grief because they lost a family member or a dog or somebody or whatever, that you will just guide and direct them tonight. By the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. By the Heavenly Father's name, we pray. We just want to say amen and amen and amen, because we just want to see you in the way that you are, God, because we know today that you are the truth. You are the light. I'm thinking TikTok will be on me and Clapper will be on us both, because I don't think I can get us both on this one. But that's fine. You get, make sure your camera in front of you is fine. But yeah, this is what we want, God. We just want to be able to see what you're doing. We want to thank you, Jesus, for all these wonderful things. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray amen and amen. Looks like our Mr. Tucker Jones wants to sit with us today, which is okay. That's fine. So without further ado, are we ready? We're ready. Okay, right. So this, I guess we're going to share what we're reading out of.
We're reading, we've got this, the Ultimate Bible Guide, a complete walkthrough of all six, a complete walkthrough history of all 66 books of the Bible with photos, maps, charts, and timelines. Mm-hmm. And anybody that knows me knows I love history more than any other thing out there.
This is all crooked. Yeah, we can fix that.
No. It has to be, my leg has to be. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
So we're going to talk about
stay focused.
Yeah, it's difficult to get focused with all the stuff that's going on. We do apologize for all that. We just give us just a few more seconds here. We're going to be all right. We'll be able to continue. So this is again. Let me show the book.
We've already said.
So the Ultimate Bible Guide. We got this off of ChristianBook.com, and we decided we wanted to do a history of the book of Genesis. We're going to go through this. We took a couple of pages that we're going to look at this. We're going to have some of our own personal commentary. I read before this started some other ministries' commentary, and throughout the week I've read others too, just to have an idea of how it connects, you know, this being the founding piece of the Bible and how it connects to the rest of the Bible and where we are Christians today. Miranda?
Okay, so Jeremy, we'll start with page one. We actually scanned all of the pages from the book, because each book is the way they break down the history of it, who wrote it, you know, the timeline it was written in, of all the different books. It's not that long, so it's a great little kind of study thing. And they have scriptures you can read to go along with it, which Jeremy's going to be reading. So we'll start. The English title, Genesis, is based on the name given by the Greek translators of this book in the 2nd century B.C. The name could be translated source or generation. The original Hebrew title is simply the first word of the book, Bereshith. I think that's how you say it, Bereshith, in the beginning. Our key texts are Genesis 1:1 and 12:3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. The key term, beginning, this book tells the beginning of many things: the creation of the world, the origin of the human race, and marriage, the rise of sin and death. The book also shows the beginning of God's glorious plan to build a kingdom of redeemed people. One sentence summary of the book of Genesis. The God who created humankind and punished disobedience with death began his great plan of redemption with his covenant to Abraham, whose descendants arrived in Egypt as God's cherished people. And to page 2. And so God's message in the book of Genesis is the purpose. Genesis lays the historical and theological foundation for the rest of the Bible. If the Bible is the story of God's redemption of his people, Genesis chapter 1 through 11 tells why redemption is necessary. Humans are rebels, unable to redeem themselves further. In Genesis chapter 12, or Genesis 12, chapters 12 through 50, shows the steps God initiated to establish a redeemed people and to make a way for the Redeemer to come. He did this through his unconditional covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with his providential care through Joseph's life. God's people who study Genesis today should view it with this original purpose in mind. The Christian worldview elements. Genesis deals particularly with worldview categories of God, creation, humanity, rebellion, and sin, and covenant, and redemption. No Bible book more fully teaches God as creator and humanity as sinners who cannot save themselves. Teachings about God. Genesis reveals God first as creator. He is righteous in his commands, and he judges when humankind disobeys him. Genesis further reveals God as the one who makes his covenant with undeserving people. See Genesis chapter 15. The first promise of Christ is given in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The Spirit of God is mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and chapter 6, 3. Teachings in about humanity. Genesis shows the glory of humanity by emphasizing that mankind alone of all creation was made in the image of God. On the other hand, Genesis shows the shame of humanity by recounting three incidents involving the whole race, the fall, the flood, and Babel. All three events portray humans as sinners in need of a savior. Teachings and salvation. Genesis introduces critical truths about salvation developed in later parts of Scripture. In particular, the incident of the death of a ram instead of Isaac points to a substitutionary understanding of sacrifice. Further, the New Testament makes much of Abraham as a pattern of salvation for all the redeemed. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Chapter 15, verse 6. And in Genesis 12 through 50, shows the beginning of God's covenant people. Page 3. Okay. So, Christ in Genesis. And if you, once you have become a seasoned Christian and you read over the New Testament, when you go back to the Old Testament, you see from the beginning, after the fall, after Adam and Eve sinned, Jesus is in the picture. Jesus is throughout prophecy telling his coming to save the people, to redeem us, to pay the ultimate price for us. And creation is the first theme of Genesis, and Christ is the agent of creation, for everything was created by him, Colossians 1:16. I'll let Jeremy read that.
Colossians 1:16. I'll give everyone a moment to turn to that. Colossians 1:16. It says, "For him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him."
And so Christ as a redeemer is first promised in Genesis 3:15. When God commanded Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, he provided a substitute for Isaac. In the same way, he provided Christ as our substitute through his sacrificial death. Through Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ, all families of the earth will be blessed. So, God's story. When the events of the book happen, from creation until Joseph's death, it was 1805 B.C. There is insufficient information to date the events of Genesis 1 through 11 using the traditional early date from the Exodus. Abraham's birth in Ur is believed to be 2166 B.C. And Joseph's death in Egypt was estimated to be 1805 B.C. An amazing total of some 360 years for four generations. This was the time of the first dynasty of Babylon and Mesopotamia and of the Middle Kingdom in Egypt. The Bronze Age had developed by the end of Genesis. So let's look at this chart here. It says 2166 B.C., Abraham born, 2066, Isaac born, 2006, Jacob and Esau are born, 1915 B.C., these are all B.C., Joseph is born, and then 1805 B.C., Joseph dies. So how Genesis fits into God's story. Genesis shows why redemption is needed and presents the first steps in God's bringing a people into right relationship with him. The beginning of God's plan is to bless all nations through the covenant he began with Abraham. Initially, that plan focused on Abraham's biological descendants, reaching its geographical zenith during the kingdom of David and Solomon. The greatest descendant of Abraham is Jesus, who inaugurated the kingdom of God at his first coming and will consummate it at his second coming. Original history setting, author and date of writing of the book of Genesis. So Moses perhaps wrote it in 1445 B.C. The book is technically anonymous. On the other hand, according to uniform Jewish and early Christian belief, the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. Collectively, these five books are called the Torah in Hebrew. Go to the next. How did you say that word?
Pentateuch.
Pentateuch, okay. Okay, I would have never got that right. Pentateuch, Greek, or the law in English. Let's stick to English. I'm not... Both Jesus and Paul affirm that Moses wrote the law in John chapter 7, verse 19, and Romans chapter 10, verse 19. We'll have Jeremy read that real quick.
John chapter 7, verse 19. John chapter 7, verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? Romans 10:19, but I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation.
And scholars who accept the testimony of Scripture as face value continue to affirm that Moses wrote Genesis. During the 1800s, most critical scholars abandoned the belief that Moses wrote these books. The influential German scholar Julius Wellhausen presented evidence for a documentary theory often called JEDP for the composition of the law. This theory argued that the Torah evolved over several centuries and was finally compiled during the time of Israel's kings. Although Wellhausen's theory has been modified over the years, it still dominates scholarly discussions of the origin of the Pentateuch. The time of Moses' life has been interpreted two ways, because 1 Kings 6:1 notes the time between the Exodus and Solomon. The Exodus has been dated traditionally as 1446 B.C. Others, however, date the Exodus as 1290 B.C. based on the word Ramesses in Exodus 1:11. And the first known occurrence of that name applied to a pharaoh, assuming an early date for the Exodus and that Moses wrote while Israel camped at Mount Sinai, Genesis was written in the middle of the 15th century BC. First audience and destination, the Israelites at Mount Sinai. The original hearers and destination are not stated, but are believed from tradition. The first audience was the Israelite nation in the wilderness on their way to Canaan. The occasion. Genesis did not tell what prompted it to be written. Its events occurred centuries before the writer's birth. Although some historical records from the dawn of humanity may have survived for Moses to use as sources, this does not appear likely. If one believes that Moses received the Ten Commandments by divine revelation, then one can just as readily believe that God also revealed to Moses the content of Genesis. So literary features in the book of Genesis is genre and literary style, a historical narrative written in excellent Hebrew. Although Genesis was the first book of the law, it recorded relatively few divine commands, some of which are chapter 2, verse 17, and chapter 9, verse 7. Genesis has preserved two historical narratives, chapters 1 through 11, contain a selective history of the entire human race. Other religions have their stories about creation and beginnings with which Genesis shares certain features. The Babylonian Gilgamesh epic contains parallels to the flood narrative, chapters 12 through 50, tell the story of the direct ancestors of the Israelites. Genesis also contains a few passages of poetry and important genealogies. The Hebrew style of Genesis is like that of the rest of the Pentateuch. The writer composed his account carefully. Themes: creation, death, flood, covenant, providence. The account of the creation of the world and of humankind in God's image provides the theological basis for the Bible. Bible's insistence on human accountability. To the Creator, the words, "and he died," repeated. You need to go to the next page.
Yeah.
Right. But
oh, last page.
You skipped. You're on the last page. You skipped the other one.
No, I'm on this one right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go to the next page.
Go to the next one? Okay.
So, the words, "and he died," repeated with depressing regularity, show that the fall indeed had the effect God warned about. The flood narrative shows how God judged the race he had created and God's covenants with Noah and then with Abraham. He reached out in mercy to his fallen human creatures. The last half of the book, notably the story of Joseph, emphasizes God's providential care over his covenant people. Book features and structure. Genesis introduces themes that the rest of Scripture develops. Genesis is necessary to make sense of the rest of the Bible. The author organized chapters 1 through 11 around four great events: creation, fall, flood, and Babel. Genesis chapters 12 through 50 has preserved the story of four great men: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. The geographical focus shifts from section to section. Chapters 1 through 11 happen generally in the Fertile Crescent. The action for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob shifts between Haran and Canaan, while the Joseph story alternates between Canaan and Egypt. 10 times the author uses the Hebrew word toledot, translated records, or family records. Many scholars view this as a clue to the structure of the book. So that's the end of the little walkthrough history of that. But let's go back and let's talk about Abraham's family line.
Mm-hmm.
There's a graph that shows the lineage of Abraham and all his descendants. And so we start with Oh, this is so such small writing, Jeremy. I can't really see it.
Here.
Can you see it?
All right, so.
If you gotta take your glasses off, obviously your glasses aren't working anymore.
All right, so no, that's the thing. So, like, we got the Torah at the top, and then you're gonna have Sarai and Abram, and then Keturai, and you break down from Keturai and Hagar, you got Isaac. Isaac goes all the way down to, like, Rebekah, but before that, you have Joseph, Midim, and the four other children, Ishmael, which we know the issue with Ishmael, and then the two children, the five children, and the 12 sons after Ishmael. Then on the other side, you have Ruma and Nabar and Haran, the four sons of Ramah. And then you got Miga, Asa, and Lot coming from Haran. And then Lot's first and second daughters, and then back to Micah, the Bethel and the seven sons. And then you got Rebekah and Laban. And then from there, it's Esau and Jacob. And then it's Leah, Rachel, Bama, and Zephaniah. And then it splits even further with multiple people from Leah's side. You got Reuben, Simon, Leah, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. And then Leah also has Dinah. And then Rachel has Joseph and Benjamin. Joseph, of course, has Ephraim and Manasseh. Benjamin does the 12 sons. And then Manasseh and the concubine. This is Genesis 30 at this point. Dan, Nepha, Gad, and Asher, from Zebah and Asher. Asher goes down the four sons with Sarah. And then, of course, with Dan, you got the one son, Nebati, the four sons, and Gad, the seven sons. Then we go back over to Levi. He's got Gershon, Kohath, the Meridi. And then Reuben's got, like I said, the four sons. Then you got Simeon, you got the six sons. Judah's got the five. Then Ishar's got the four.
What's important to say there when you said Judah?
Judah, yeah.
That's where Jesus came from.
So you're looking at the origin of this and seeing, you know, what God is doing.
But how
everything's connected.
Judah, mm-hmm. Judah had five sons.
Yeah.
And out of those five sons, one of those was that's the lineage of Jesus.
Exactly.
Where Jesus came in.
So what we wanted to go into this, we thought it was really great to study. Like I said, I was reading before this a little commentary from Tony Evans about how Genesis was, you know, the foundations of pretty much everything that happens. And a lot of people struggle reading the Old Testament.
We wouldn't have the new to anything after, or any of the books after, or even the end of the Bible, Revelation. We wouldn't have that if we first didn't have this.
So I'm going to say something to catch Miranda off guard. Be prepared. This is the ditch digger origin story right here.
Oh, yeah. Listen, yeah.
Think about how many people still follow their traditions. I have friends that are Messianic Jews. I have others that do different things like that. And they're really important about studying, you know, what happens. A lot of times, though, a lot of folks get saved because they go to an event, a band, a friend, a family member. They get saved and they don't really get into stuff like that. So from time to time, we're going to be having different things of this nature going into different books. For those of you that are on Clapper, in about a few minutes, you got Pastor Bobby. He's making tons of posts. And Pastor Clinton, they're making posts about walking through a different chapter of the Bible. We're having Bible studies. We're having audio radios. We're having live videos. We're having online church. We're having in-person events and different things of that nature all across the globe, like on TikTok and on Facebook and YouTube, and the meeting up and having dialogue and having discussions. So these are the things that you need to learn as a Christian, because a lot of times the reason why you can't fight is because you don't have the tools you need. And yes, learning Genesis is difficult for some folks. We do understand that. That's why we wanted to give you like an overview of it. If you're really interested in this, we could set up a separate time to make separate, you know, like conversating maybe on Zoom or maybe on Clapper Radio. And we pick a chapter. We read it. We discuss it. I know there's some other fellowships online we associate with and in person where we do that. We have conversations about a different Bible verse every day. Or if you're on YouVersion, there's several different apps. If you're on YouVersion, add me and I can invite you to some. We're doing a daily one right now. I got three or four of those. If you're interested, just let me know.
Well, the other thing, it is so well documented historically, yes. Not just biblically, but historically.
Yes.
Everything that happened in Genesis, I mean, the whole Bible itself has historically been proven many times over, no matter how much man wants to say or the devil wants to say, it's all a made-up fairy tale. But the lineage, these descendants are still alive.
Yes.
Today of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Judah and they're still alive. They're you know, I lost my train of thought again. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
Yeah, the Jewish people live on. To me, the Jewish people themselves is the greatest evidence that the Bible is true, because they're still alive today, because they are the descendants of these people from the past.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's to me one of the greatest evidence that the Bible is true, because they're still here.
Well, yeah. And I believe that as we study the Bible, it gives us fresh revelation every day. You could read the same verse.
Oh, yeah.
Almost every day, and God would give you fresh revelation about that verse. And I understand some of you, you know, because of COVID or age or whatever else is going on, you may not be able to memorize the Bible. We're not trying to force you to the memorization level. We just want you to be exposed to it. You know, just like the world wants us to be exposed to their customs and courtesies and music and different things like that. And the longer you hear a lot of these things, you'll start picking up on these stories, picking up on some of these conversations and different things. And you got to get, you know, focused in on what God has, because when you do that, it's going to transform things. It's going to move things, because when you do that, then you won't have those problems. You'll be able to move forward and see what God has for you. So at this point, I'm going to pray. I'm going to let Miranda be excused. You can, or you can sit there and pray with me. But tonight was that opportunity, you know, to see what God is doing and in how He's trying to operate and what He wants in our lives. And what's so important is this foundational cornerstone of our biblical truth, of our relations and customs and courtesies of God. It is the foundational ditch digger moment. These families, whether they are dysfunctional or not, whether they follow
God or not. They were definitely dysfunctional.
Whether they, you know, made the sacrifice or not, whether you know who they are. You know, like we were talking about in our ditch digger story about Solomon building a temple. You don't know who they are. Well, we don't know all the people. We don't know all the jobs everybody did. We don't know everything. We don't know everything that happens past the point of what it says in the Bible either. Like if you took a paper and pen right now and wrote down on paper 2022 to, you know, Moses, trace out the lineage, what all they did. Some were successful. Some failed. Some tried, didn't get very far. Others were blocked. Some, you know, there's life. And life that changes as we go through the different seasons of life. So right now, I want to pray. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray with you that God will strengthen us tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you. We want to thank you for letting us read and study about your word tonight. We want to thank you that we're able to do what it is you called us to do in our lives, that we're being the stewards you called us to as we study the book of Genesis tonight, as we learn about what your word says about our foundational truths, that we'll be focused, that we'll move forward and do what you called us to do in our lives. I know a lot of people are struggling with different things, God, and they need that anchor. They need that foundation. They need that cornerstone to be able to go forward and stand between the rock and the sand, between the right and the wrong, between the yes and the no, that we'll be able to go forward and do what you called us to do, God. Lord, we just pray for those that are sick. Pray for those that are struggling. Pray for those that are having problems, that may not know where they're going and what they're doing, that you will just guide and direct them by the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray. Amen. God bless you guys. We want to thank you for coming tonight, and we'll see you soon.